thought we'd break right there. Will, are you sexual?
Oh, I was feeling it.
Oh, yeah, he was feeling it. You know what? Backstreet's back, all right? Yeah?
Stop with the puns now.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, after a little hiatus here, we had some Thanksgiving breaks. Sam's plane got pushed back twice. It was a long journey to get back here to you, the fans. Wait,
I don't know if you can talk about yourself in the third person on the show because you also could be talking about the other Sam.
Oh, you're right. Sam Anthony.
I'm forever known as the other Sam, apparently.
That's true. Well, he tried to introduce himself to girls as Clark Kent, but that did not work.
Hey, I got Addison, didn't I?
That's true. He's not wrong.
But as Clark Kent or as Sam? It was as Sam.
I think it was as Dad Sam.
Yeah, I agree. It definitely was as Dad Sam. You know what? I feel like that's a better way to call him, Dad Sam. I will say that we're both rocking the backward hats today.
Yeah.
Oh, I always do.
You know what?
It's better to do that, this big honking headset on. And
so here's my question, Will, before we start this show. I know people can't see it, but Sam Farrance has grown out his beard for No Shave November. How would you rate the beard?
Honestly, it's not that bad.
I'd give it a 7.
Yeah.
Like, I would definitely say there's some room to go. Like, it's definitely, like some of the upwards, it needs to grow in a little bit more. But, like, you could have had, like, a solid, like little, like...
Soul patch.
Yeah, you definitely could have had, like, a power soul patch. The mustache is where it's just lacking.
That kind of makes sense, because, like, that little land bridge there is always the last thing to go.
Yeah, so. My mustache is never my forte, and I don't know.
On that note, I understand what the Movember movement is to promote men's health and everything, but I just hate mustaches. So I'm fine with No Shave November because I do think it's funny when, like, the patchiness comes out and the scraggliness and whatever.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, I just can't stand mustaches on their own.
Have you seen, I mean, I know they might not know this, but RMU Central Media's own Ian Kiss has a mustache.
No way.
And it doesn't come in the middle.
Yeah, no, I haven't. He's Snapchatted me, and I haven't noticed enough to say anything. Yeah. So, sorry, Ian.
That's where I would be if I tried to grow a beard, so I made the choice not to. So, Sam, congratulations. Congratulations.
Yeah.
You too, Will, but you've always had a beard.
This I didn't participate. I trimmed. But
I mean, it wasn't a No Shave November thing.
You just happened to be not shaving in November?
Yeah, I just didn't.
Well, it worked. It's fitting.
I don't shave enough to be able to donate to charity. You know, I don't shave that. What you're supposed to do for No Shave November.
Do you need to donate? Or I thought it was like you participate in order to like raise awareness. Like you can donate. Like that has been done. But like a lot of it's like, look at my beard. Like this is what it's for. Like let's talk about these issues. But I digress because you know what? This isn't a No Shave November show.
Well,
this
could be.
Is a sports show. Let's be real here. We came into this not knowing what this is. This is a sports show.
That's what it is.
So, you know what? We're going to start off today. We're not going to let him talk about the Eagles first because you know we're going
to
get inevitably.
I have a huge story to talk about.
I will Sam, I am going to put money on it that it has to do with women's hockey.
Oh, it 100% does have to do
with
women's hockey.
Well, that's what we want to start with so that he can get it out of his system.
And
you have
it actually
5 minutes.
It's not RMU hockey related. It's Wisconsin Badger hockey related. Because the then undefeated Wisconsin Badgers women's team is now defeated.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
By Northeastern.
But we knew they were going to lose eventually.
Yeah, but to Northeastern?
Northeastern is a hockey
school. A 500 team.
But they play better teams. That's the thing.
That is true. I mean, they did lose.
A tougher conference.
They did lose, I believe it was 7-3 against number 2 Boston College.
Yeah.
Like the next night or the next
weekend. To me, it was just kind of the inevitability that Wisconsin would eventually drop a game. Because going undefeated in a hockey season, it just isn't possible. It doesn't happen.
That's true. I wanted to get your opinions on the women's hockey performance this past weekend.
Against number five Ohio State.
They went 1-1 with them. Night one they lost. I think that game was also 7-3.
Yes, sir.
And then the second night was 4-3 in overtime?
3-2?
3-2 in overtime.
Brittany Howard with
Brittany Howard with goal number 70 and 71 in that game.
Yep.
That's just incredible.
Yep.
Unto itself. But the thing I wanted to look at was neither Robert Morris nor Ohio State moved in
which
the rankings.
I think is appropriate. So I think what this game does for Robert Morris is it gives them the ability to move up in the future. Because, again, Robert Morris, again, hadn't beaten a ranked opponent since 2013.
Right.
It was a respect thing. People were never going to put them higher than 9 because really they didn't think they deserved to because they didn't think they deserved to be in the conversation with the Ohio States. And you know what? After that first game, actually, no, not even after that first game, after that first period where it was 4-0 at the end of 1, I would have agreed with them. And after that, after it just felt like, oh, I guess Robert Morris got the jitters out, I would say. It felt like it was a different team, and they went toe-to-toe
because after
with
that,
one of the best teams in the nation.
Yeah, after that first period, through the next 5 periods, they outscored them 5-4.
Yeah.
So
it was tight. It was close. It was just a really, really bad first period. But, yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense. I think Ohio State shouldn't drop because it proves that Robert Morris should be the number 9 team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it gives Robert Morris, rather, leeway to move up. Because it goes, hey, you know, this is a team that battled toe-to-toe and beat a top team in the nation. So, you know, when they go through and they, you know, get these 11-0 victories like we've seen, that's going to carry a little bit more weight. It's not just going to be, oh, because that team's bad. It's going to be because, oh,
this
Robert Morris is really, really good.
And one other thing that we can move on that I just looked at because, you know, the ranking isn't just some arbitrary thing. They do have a point system. That and I don't know, maybe the point system is arbitrary, but after that weekend, I looked at the previous poll. Robert Morris gained 1 point, and Ohio State lost 6. So RMU went from 28 points in 9th to 29 points in 9th, and Ohio State went from 88 points in 5th to 82 points in 5th.
I think that's important. I think you're right. Even if you don't see them move up, and even if it's a 1 point difference, you're also seeing that they take a hit from Ohio State.
That's true.
I think that carries some weight. And again, you know, you look at that, and I know that, you know, St. Lawrence is a 4-loss team, and Minnesota's a 4-loss team in their head, but they're also in better conferences.
Yes.
And to me, what this leads to is you get later in the season, Robert Morris. If Robert Morris wants to move up, realistically, you want my honest opinion, they have to go undefeated. They can tie.
Yeah.
They cannot take losses in conference
no.
play. Because there's no one good enough in that conference. When the second best team is 3 games below 500, you can't lose in the conference.
We are the team in that conference.
Because, again, Ohio State, or I'm sorry, Robert Morris, I keep going back to Ohio State. Robert Morris in their conference is 10-2-2. The next best team.
That's overall.
Yeah, I know. And that's my point here. Is the next best team overall is Syracuse. That's 4-7-2. And they're. Most of 3 of those 4 wins came from conference play, which means they were beating teams like RIT and Penn State and Lindenwood and Mercyhurst,
who
all teams that are
also
significantly
awful.
Worse.
Lindenwood is 2-9-1.
Yeah. So Robert Morris, the key, and if they went out and they end up with only 2 losses, which would probably be about the same as Wisconsin, it would also be very unprecedented. The only loss I could see them taking is Saturday, December 9th. When they go to number 3 Colgate.
That's going to be a fun game.
And when they
game.
Go to number 5 Ohio State 2 more times. Because you know what?
Oh, really? They play. Oh, I guess we did get the home and home.
Yeah, they play them 2 more times. And again, it's another opportunity for Robert Morris to gain some respect. They gained it last year when they made the tournament. And they were able to schedule these big-time opponents. And it again, it doesn't necessarily mean that they have to go and they have to win all 3 games. I think if they win all 3 games, without a doubt, Robert Morris will be ranked in the top 5. Because I think it brings up the conversation, hey, you're beating these top 5 teams. I think if you win 1 of 3, you know, let's say you lose to Colgate and then you split with Ohio State again, I think it's still respectable.
I think if they beat Colgate, I could see them jumping up to 8.
Yeah, because Colgate's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Let's be clear. Colgate.
They were at number 4.
And I thought they were number 2.
No, they were number 4 at the beginning of the season. Because when we looked at that, we were like, wow. Yeah.
Colgate has wins versus number 2 Clarkson, and they have 2 wins versus number
Clarkson's
6.
Number 4 now.
But probably at the time they were number two.
Yeah. And by the way, Northeastern was ranked number 6 at one point. I know they're not now.
Yeah, they're not anymore.
But yeah, I mean, they've gone and they've beaten top teams. They go and they played RIT, by the way, in the Windjammer, and they won 6-1.
Yeah.
So
a team to look at that could challenge Wisconsin, at least for first place votes and all that. You know, the tournament is, you know, a crapshoot. It's kind of like any given team on any given day, especially in women's hockey. Like, I feel like out of any sport, like, this is the...
I mean, because there's so few teams, the parity between a lot of them is very slim. Mm-hmm. I would say out of the teams that make the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. So a team to watch, I'd say, is Boston College. They were number three, now they're number two. They're 20 points behind Wisconsin. They're 11-1-2. You know, it's just another team that, you know, everyone always talks about Wisconsin and the heavy hitter that Wisconsin is, but now you have these other teams that are kind of sneaking up. You know, Boston College 11-1-2, Colgate 14-2-0, Clarkson 12-3-1. You have other teams that are in double-digit wins. RMU's 9-10-2-2. Like, you have a lot of teams that are winning a lot in women's hockey.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing to note, too, so to me, this is why Robert Morris is considered one of those top teams, right? Mm. In terms of team offense and team defense, look at a team like Wisconsin. Wisconsin is ranked second in team defense, and they are ranked eighth in team offense. They are top tier for both.
Yeah.
Robert Morris is ranked fourth in team offense, and they're ranked...
Are they in the top 10?
They were, and I just lost them real quick. They are 11th in team defense.
Hmm. Yeah, so I mean, I think it's crazy to think, and you have to credit that first line as a huge reason as to why we're fourth in offense.
Honestly, though, it's been, in terms of, you're averaging 4.14 goals per game.
Mm.
It's a lot of everyone.
That's true.
Just incredible. I mean, I know Brittany Howard's leading the charge, mm-hmm. but you also got to consider right behind her in scoring, only with 3 goals, but with 15 assists. 15. So that
JC?
Is ridiculous. JC,
yeah.
You have Amber Rennie that's in there. And, I mean, then you have Kirsten Welsh is 44th in scoring with 14 points. She's averaging a point a game as a defenseman. That's huge. Her impact goes without saying, really, there. And, I mean, in terms of assists, too, you got Maggie LeGue. She has 10 assists herself. I mean, just all these people on there. And, I mean, to me, the fact that they can spread out the puck so well. And then you have these young players that have looked great, like Diffindahl
has looked great. You have surprises like Elijah Milne-Price, who has just kind of appeared from the rafters almost in her senior season. And, again, with the exception, I don't know who started that first game at Ohio State, but with the exception of that first period in that one game, she has been phenomenal.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like, it's for that to come from your who used to be considered your third goalie, like, that shows depth of this program, and I think it shows what potential we have. And I believe when she came in, she wasn't a goalie. I think and I could be wrong. I don't know if we have any facts on this, but I believe when she came in, she was a forward, and then they taught her to be a goalie, and now she's been a goalie like her sophomore and junior year, and now this year.
Man, if she did, that's a that's a phenomenal story.
I honestly think I'm not 100%, but I'm pretty sure that's what I heard. And again, I don't have sources or really remember where I heard that, but I thought that's what it was.
Well, we'll see if we can confirm that at some point here. But you know what? Here's I guess the burning question here is, you know, is Robert Morris in a place, if they set themselves up right now, where you're going to see, you know, this continued success? Is this going to be, you know, a complete and utter dominance? Or is this, you know, kind of like a, hey, you know, Brittany Howard leaves and then all of a sudden, you know, we're just okay again?
I agree with that question. Like, it'll next year will be very telling.
Yes.
And we'll have to see who steps up with that loss, not only of a goal scorer and your first line, is she a center? I don't know. I'm not
Howard. Yeah.
Yeah. So you lose your first line center, but you also lose your captain and your leader.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I remember I saw it was either a tweet or a story from Brianne McLaughlin about how she's been around different leaders and has seen Brittany Howard in those roles and been able to produce and be that person you look to. She said, like, it's not unlike any of those other leaders that she has played alongside with and seen in her career.
Yeah. Big time players make big time plays in big time games.
Oh, let's see what Sam Ferentz has to say. He's been very quiet.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be hard, obviously.
You know, and it's always going to be hard when you're not playing the same level of talent consistently that like a Colgate or a Cornell or a Wisconsin is going to face.
Someone just needs to step up, and that's all it is. Brittany Howard leads the nation in game-winning goals with 4. There are 2 other people that have 4.
And I think that's amazing, especially because, I mean, just the circumstances that have to happen. But, I mean, it's consistently every time Robert Morris needs that big goal.
And she's there.
She's there. And, I mean, that's the definition of clutch. And clutch is a skill that can't be measured. And it's one that, you know, again, it's like a quarterback who, you know, leads in game-winning drives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone who may not be great throughout the game, but when it comes down to if the game's tight and you need someone to give you that final drive, that's they're going to be there for that. And that makes the difference between, you know, an okay team and a great team.
Now, could you argue that next season for women's hockey is a lot like this current season for women's basketball, having lost arguably one of the greatest players in Robert Morris women's basketball history, and on Nikki Stamm-Lamprou?
But see, I agree then that it would be like that, because did you see the score of the game last night?
Yeah, it was 82-54.
84-52.
84-52.
84-52. 32-point lead. Yeah. Robert Morris out-rebounded them, out-stole them, didn't let them score in the final 7 minutes of the game. I mean, it was a complete domination. You know why that was? It's because when you had players like that, but you also had coaches like Coach B and mm-hmm. Coach Colantino, they build a culture.
Mm-hmm.
So now this is part of the culture. This is what we do. We win, we go around, and we practice hard every day. You know, just because someone leaves, you just fill that hole. And I guarantee you that they've been recruiting, trying to fill that hole.
Yeah.
And again, you have Rennie, you have Gebhard, and you have Annette Lovo will be very good.
Mm-hmm.
LeCavalier can score, Diffendahl. I mean, there's tons of people who, when it comes to filling that hole, will have the opportunity to do it. And that is a lot attributing to the coaching, but also to the players that they bring in, that, you know, they have this drive that they want to win, and they build a culture. And I think that would actually be a perfect comparison if you're going to bring them in and say, you know, this isn't going to stop. I would say that in terms of success, women's basketball, women's hockey are really set for, I mean, just some great, great years ahead of them.
Yeah, and you know, you do have to give a lot of that credit to the coaches. And I know, like, I have had the pleasure of having a conversation with Coach Paul Colantino once. You've met Coach B and spoken with him, I don't even know,
Coach B's my boy.
Dozens of times, probably,
I love
at
Coach
this
B.
point.
Coach B comes down to all the games, apparently.
Oh, yeah, dude. He gets a stat sheet at the end. Like, he's
he was chilling
there
over by the band.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, they're both nice and approachable people, not only as coaches, but just as like a human
and
person.
The players feed off of that.
Yeah.
And they like being around them, and they enjoy playing for them, and they're willing to, you know, give everything they have for these coaches.
Mm.
Which, by the way, I don't know how you thought about it, Sam. I was a big fan of Coach B's suit last night. I let him know. He appreciated it.
It was a nice suit.
I was upset. I had night class. I did not get to go and see the game.
Yeah. So, you know what? I'm going to take this opportunity. Mm. All right. We're gonna send this to break. All right. Take a quick commercial break. We'll let some Backstreet Boys play. But then we're going to come back, all right, and we're going to talk men's basketball and women's basketball, because winter sports here, ladies and gentlemen, are going to be phenomenal. The one shocker to me is men's hockey, but we'll also talk about that when we come back. So please don't go away. You know, consider if you really want to, you know, just come knock on the window and say, hey, we disagree with your opinions and we'll bring you in. We'll have a discussion. We have an extra microphone. That'd be kind of fun. We should do that sometime. All right. I'm going to break.
Nice.
So, there we go. Sorry, technical difficulties. I was pressing the wrong buttons. Thank you so much for listening to some Backstreet Boys with us and then sitting there in silence for about 20 seconds while I struggle with the buttons. I don't know why they put me in charge, but we're back. Will, Sam, and Sam in the morning. As usual, Sam Anthony, Sam Ferentz, Will Camilleri, all here to give you your take on RMU athletics. We talked women's hockey. We talked about the significance of their season so far. And now we're going to switch gears, and we're going to start with men's basketball. Last Woo-hoo! Night, who's excited? They're excited.
I'm excited.
Will's excited. The team is now on a four-game winning streak after starting the season 0-3 here. They're sitting 4-3 as they head close to their first home game, December 6th. They have one more at Siena, but right now, some very convincing wins, 75-53 against Norfolk State, 78-64 against Little Rock, 81-74 at Youngstown State. All really phenomenal wins. And you can't forget that first win of the season against Duquesne. At Duquesne, Robert Morris right now, Kobe Thomas leading the pack here. He's averaging about 15 points per game. What are you guys liking from this men's basketball team?
There's a lot. I think there's a lot to like. Because you have, you know, I don't know exactly. I think it was like 10 new players, something like that,
11.
Come in. 11, even more. So, you know, there are people that, you know, we don't know. Our campus doesn't know besides really arguably only Matty McConnell because he's Deshaun. Yeah, but I'd say Matty more than...
He's the only player that's been around longer than a year. So.
Yeah. So you have all of these players come in, and, you know, honestly, I was really okay with it. I know some people were kind of iffy, not really sure, like, what the future of RMU men's basketball was just because of this transfer culture that has kind of erupted in collegiate men's basketball.
Yeah.
But they've come out and they've played like nothing short of incredible, I'd say. You know, the lowest amount of points that they put up was 53 at San Diego. You know, even the preseason games, 73-70, 78-61. Like, you have these high-scoring games that, granted, those first two didn't count, but you have these games, and they're all on the road.
That's the big thing to me. And, you know, again, I don't really count the Ohio State loss because that's a game you go and you kind of expect to lose because Ohio State's at another level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They should beat a team like Robert Morris.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at, you know, the level of play, you look at that Grand Canyon game and you look at that San Diego game, and those are two games they easily could have won. It was a bad first half from Robert Morris, and then they played great in the second half. It was too late. San Diego, again, their offense didn't get going, and then San Diego jumped ahead late, but they led for most of that first half and some of that second half. So to me, they're a team that could be 6-1 right now. Which would be, I mean, just unheard of for Robert Morris starting non-conference play. But that's something that you know, is really, I believe, worth noting, is that this team is winning the games they should win. They should beat a not-so-great Youngstown State team. They should beat a Arkansas Little Rock, and they should beat a Norfolk State. But they're not only winning these games.
I mean, arguably, you could say they should beat Duquesne, too, because they've won 7 times in the past 8 years.
Yeah, but Duquesne, again, Duquesne's in the A-10. I mean, they're with teams like Rhode Island, who had a chance at the Sweet 16 last year. Teams like VCU, teams like Dayton, that are not only good, but they dominate that conference. They dominate in terms of the fact that you're getting, you know, high seeding. You're getting 10s and 11s, where Robert Morris is going to get a 15 or 16.
I think URI was even an 8 or a 9 seed.
They were an
11
last year. They were an 11, but they played like an 8 or a 9.
Yeah.
Because how phenomenal. I mean, they almost beat the 3-seeded Oregon. They should have. They blew it. But
tell us how you really feel.
Hey, man, when your brother goes to University of Rhode Island, you got a little bit of pride. But, you know, that's what I'm saying here is Robert Morris. And not only are they winning the games, they're winning them by, you know, 20-point margins. The offense is looking good. Last year, Robert Morris's offense was anemic. I mean, it ranked one of the worst in the nation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this year, you're seeing that number after those first couple games, you're seeing it rise. And you're seeing Robert Morris get out of the cellar in terms of offense. And the big key for that has been their ability to pass the ball. Their assists have gone up. There's really great point guard play from DeAndre Washington, John Williams, Deshaun Burke, and it really lifts the weight off of guys like Matty McConnell, who I think came into this year really expecting he was going to have to be the guy.
Yeah.
And I think he's kind of found his role as the guy who can put up 15 to 20 points a game. He doesn't have to do anything super flashy. And, you know, they work as a team and they get these great team wins. And to me, those two losses were kind of an adjustment. They were trying to figure out everyone's roles. And I think they've figured it out now.
Mm-hmm. Interesting to note, currently we are second in the NEC, and granted, none of this really matters.
But it
yet.
Is important to note that they're one of two teams with a winning record in the NEC right now.
I mean, they're Central Connecticut and St. Francis are both at 500.
And St. Francis also lost to number 19 Louisville, so that's also important to note.
Yeah. And Wagner is 4-1.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to see where they predicted us to be. I don't know if they have a preseason poll or not.
Something interesting to note here, Wagner against Staten Island, I know, not a great school, they put up 107 points. So that's big, but I mean, right now, again, it's hard to tell where the NEC is, but again, there's a lot of parity usually. But with Robert Morris, they keep playing like they have been. To me, there's going to be some tests coming up. Siena will be a test. Because Siena's, again, they're in the Patriot League. They're a better team. They're going to provide a challenge. Ryder, not as much, but Drexel, Buffalo, NC State. That stretch right there from December 10th to December 19th,
mm-hmm.
where you play some really, really tough teams in Buffalo and NC State, especially NC State.
Yeah.
NC State's an ACC team.
Michael Jordan went to NC State.
No, he went to UNC.
UNC?
Yeah.
What? I could have sworn it was NC State. UNC. Who am I? Somebody went to NC State.
I don't know who you're talking about, but.
Did you just say Michael Jordan went to NC State?
And we have it on recording.
I could have sworn.
Wow.
I thought I watched an ESPN 30 for 30 on that.
No, they did the one on Jimmy V for NC State. Oh man.
No, they're, I don't know.
Man.
I don't pay attention to college basketball.
You're a little bit dead on the inside right now, aren't you? Sam.
I don't really watch basketball. I don't know.
You know,
yeah,
you're
that's something you just.
No, I could have sworn.
That's just something you have. I mean, come on.
It's MJ, dude. It's MJ.
Wow.
All right. Well.
I could have sworn.
Wait, hold on. One more time before we move on. Sam, we have to go. Shame, Will.
Wow.
Shame.
Oh, wow.
Shame. All right. I feel better. I got that out of my system. Let's go back, but you know, since you've lost all credibility
apparently,
as a men's basketball expert,
whatever.
Sam, I want your take now
on
Robert Morris men's basketball. Since you know, I have more value for you as an expert now than I do William.
Good.
I'll tell you what does impress me. There are two things that I'm just looking at the Colonial stats on ESPN.com, and there are two things that impress me. The first one may not seem, and they're kind of related. The first one may not seem as impressive to you, but it is to me. 36% of the team's total rebounds are offensive rebounds.
No, that's very impressive.
87.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
87 out of the 243 team rebounds are offensive rebounds, and it's not just, you know, Matty McConnell isn't rebounding as much as he has been in the past. From what I remember, he's historically, you know, gets in there.
I mean, historically, RMU men's basketball hasn't really rebounded offensively ever.
Well, yeah. You know who the leading rebounder is?
Who?
And good thing we're starting to move in this direction of norms in basketball. Malik Petaway, big guy.
He's going to be a double-double machine.
That was my next thing I was really impressed with. I know it's, you know, early in the season. He's averaging 7 points and 6.7 rebounds per game. Keep on that trend, you're going to be at a double-double. I think that's what Robert Morris needs. You know, we talked about Robert Morris getting big guys out there and, you know, really playing the floor. And, you know, he's averaging 18.4 minutes per game. I think as the season goes on, that's going to increase. Right now, I think Andy Toole's, would it be fair to say he's trying to get a feel of the team still, just
yeah,
putting people out there?
And that's very, like, typical of an Andy Toole team. You're going to see starting lineups move. You're going to see kind of roles switch until they get to really postseason time and that stuff solidifies and you see the guys really step up who he believes has earned it. And to me, the last 2 years haven't been very typical of an Andy Toole year in terms of, like, they've been trying to figure out, but they never did. And it already feels like they've figured it out. And you're going to hit that point in the year where they're going to lose some games. And you're going to go, oh, no, what's happening? And it's going to be because they're, you know, tooling with the lineup a little bit. I didn't even do that on purpose. it just worked out really well. But, yeah. And, Sam, I want to go back to, like you said, with rebounds. They're ranked 232nd, which I know doesn't sound great. But you have to understand where they were last year. They were ranked 322nd.
In team rebounds?
In team rebounds. I mean, they were sitting there bottom rung. And this is a huge step up, and for Robert Morris to be ranked that high in terms of how many college basketball teams there are, they're middle of the pack, which is where you should expect a Robert Morris basketball team, because you're never going to see them ranked top tier. And if they are, there's something seriously wrong with the system.
This is all speculation. I don't know exactly what's going on, but you could argue that we are – almost embracing that transfer culture and saying, you know,
it's going to be, but I mean, we're operating basically like a team, like a Kentucky that expects all their players to go one and done. Anyway.
Yeah. It's just, except the only difference is for us,
instead of going to the NBA,
they're going up to that, the high level mid major schools and then to eventually, hopefully to the NBA.
Yeah.
But it's still that same perspective. And I think, you know, there have been articles with Coach Toole in the past saying that we had to adjust and adapt to it because it has hurt us in the past. But I agree. I think this team, and again, even though we're only seven games in, seems more like a team in the first 5 or 6 years of Coach Toole's tenure, and not through not what we've seen in the three of our time here at Robert Morris.
And I'll tell you what, just something else that I'm a statistics guy for all those out there that don't know. It just blows my mind because they have like order and points per game, all right? Mm-hmm. And we were talking about, you know, earlier in the year, we talked about the things that needed to change, you know, big guys that we needed a person to dish out, you know, someone to replace Kayvon. And John Williams, freshman out of Akron, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's played in all seven games. He has, behind Maddie, the second most minutes played at 208. But you know what the difference is between him and Maddie? Mm. He's all the way at the bottom of the stats chart. Maddie's all the way at the top. And the reason why he's at the bottom is because he's evenly distributing his playing time. 3.6 points, 1.4 rebounds, and 3.6 assists. And I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but when you have someone that's out there on the floor playing that much, I mean, and getting, you know, they're not the superstar, but they're kind of like sitting back and
the
making
support
sure,
role.
Yeah, they're the support role. And
he makes everyone else better.
Mm-hmm.
And as a freshman?
Yeah. You know what? Matty McConnell talked about the chemistry that he felt with John Williams on the court. The interesting thing for me is when his brother gets to play, because Josh Williams transferred from Akron, very good player at Akron.
Mm.
Getting them on the court together is intriguing to me.
Has he played yet? I haven't really been able to follow.
He's
much.
Not. He's at transfer rule, so he's sitting out
the
year.
The year. Okay.
And when he comes back, I mean, I would say have high expectations because, again, I mean, yeah, there's no reason not to, especially with the way everyone else is playing. But again, the scary thing to me is you have to think that Kobe Thomas, there's a chance he leaves after this year because he's playing so well. He was a three-star recruit. He was a highly touted guy. He's a guy that, you know, of a bigger school draws attention. He'll go. So, I mean, it could be very Marquise Reed-esque.
Well, I think that is left up to Coach Toole and the recruiting staff and saying, okay, you have this guy now. Let's use him as much as he's using us to go and say, hey, look at these past players who have gone on to these different schools.
Yeah, use it as a recruiting.
This player is currently doing that. He is being watched by, you know, school A and school B. Come here and do that with us.
And, you know, here's the other thing that's going to be, you have to understand for the future of this basketball team is how much of an impact that new arena is going to have in terms of being able to recruit talent. I mean, you tell people that they're going to be the stud in this brand new arena. I promise you they already have commitments because of that.
Yeah, if you can come in and say, hey, you can be the first one to win a championship in this building, that gets athletes ready and gets them to want to come to your school more than, oh, we're in a prime location here in suburban Moon Township.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have all of this stuff and this stuff. But you say brand new facility that's all yours that you can come in and say, I built this. This is me. Like, you don't get that chance at many places. So
I found the preseason poll.
Mm-hmm.
We are ranked 7th.
Out of 10.
So
interesting.
I wonder where the rankings are now.
I mean, that's the interesting, but like, again, look at a team like Niagara at Atlantic Hockey or a team like Central Connecticut in football. I mean, come on. At the beginning of the year, if I told you guys that Central Connecticut was going to win the Northeast Conference,
I would have laughed in your face.
And then look at it now.
I thought Central would be the place where we won the conference.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's.
I say that every year, folks.
Yeah.
But I mean, come on. You got to be excited.
Yeah.
You have to be excited about Robert Morris Sports. It's just, you know, women's. But I can't wait until NEC play comes around. I mean, we're going to come back from break, and it's going to be full swing. Yeah. That's when we're going to see claws flying.
And you look at switching over to women's. They're 3-3 currently. Huge win again last night over Youngstown. They're 1-1 at home, 2-1 away, and 0-1 at neutral sites. But like you said, they have looked good. They lost to Bowling Green in overtime here. I don't remember that game. I don't know if there was.
It was a phenomenal game because they played so poorly at the beginning. They were getting killed, and they came back second half. I mean, phenomenal play.
Is Bowling Green a better team
than Youngstown State?
No, than us.
Yes.
Yes? Okay.
Well, we'll just have to. I mean, Robert Morris women's basketball was picked, was projected second in the preseason polls. Yeah.
Who's first?
St. Francis.
Really?
Both men's and women's. So, I mean, we'll just have to see. You know, it's going to be – it's women's basketball is going to be cutthroat.
Yeah, I mean, they have a game Sunday here against Monmouth, and they go on the road against Delaware State. Then they have a stretch of home games going into break. And then they start NEC play.
Yeah, men's and women's both
already
start, both start on the 29th. Well, you got to figure you have 18 games for NEC
play. Yeah, that's true. I just, like, I don't know. It feels early. And I think I say that every year. And that I feel like conference play always starts really early.
Well, spring break is the NEC tournament.
That's true. You have to get through.
The seasons go fast, man.
Yeah.
All right, so we got the music playing. It's our cue. So we got a little bit of time here. Final thoughts, gentlemen.
Go ahead, guys. I got my...
Sam, you can start.
All right. Well, Robert Morris, women's basketball, bold prediction, will not only make the NCAA tournament, they will be a 15 seed.
Really?
You heard it here first.
Will? I think winter sports, with kind of the exception of, unfortunately, men's hockey, I think there's a lot to look forward to and a lot to be excited about with, you know, three of these four teams. Now, and it's unfortunate that men's hockey kind of hasn't lived up to that hype that maybe we put in our heads. I don't know, but I think, you know, it's going to be a fun time down at PPG Paints and at the Island and up at the new rec center. I think we'll have a lot of postseason games to play, and hopefully, you know, Travel to exotic lands, play.
Oh, I can, that's my
play
favorite part.
Teams across
traveling
the country.
The exotic parts of the Northeast.
The Northeast.
Notre Dame and Connecticut and
Wisconsin. Yeah, can we play somebody warm
at
some
point?
Like
San Diego State.
Yeah, that's my final thought.
You're in the band. Why do you get to make this decision?
This is my final thought. NCAA, give us teams in warm places.
Like Baylor at Texas.
Yeah.
Even that would be fine. But
Stanford, Coastal Carolina.
I don't know.
I don't know.
This is going to be a fun season, folks, and I'm just glad I'm in Pep Band because, you know, Sam, how did you like my cheering last night and my musical abilities?
It was okay. It could have been better.
Yeah, it was my first game back for basketball, so I was getting in the groove a little bit. I don't like the acoustics in the new student rec center.
Do they not carry as much?
Well, they carry too much. And
really?
And I think the band is spread out more than it is in it was at Sewell, so we'll just have to see how that goes. But I'm pumped for Robert Morris sports and non-Robert Morris sports here. Got to throw in the GOAT. Tiger Woods tees off at 12:05 today, folks.
Irrelevant.
When's the cut?
Hero World Challenge. There is no cut.
There is no cut.
18 players. It's
perfect
it's
for Tiger Woods.
Oh, well, it'll pass 3 years. It's been his resurrection. I'm really pulling for the guy. You know, he's trying to get back into his full swing, and I just want to see him win one more major tournament and then retire. Because
he needs to retire.
Yeah, he's old. He's he's
broken.
Broken parts. He's gonna head to the mechanic shop and get fixed.
Yeah.
But I'm pumped. 12:05. I'll be streaming it on my laptop.
All right. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. This is Sam Anthony signing off. Hi, Mrs. Ferentz. I love you.
Oh, come on. That's my thing. This is Sam Ferentz, actuary, signing off. Go Colonials. Love you, Mom.
And this is Will Camilleri signing off. Have a great morning. No, I'm not saying it.
All right. Well, Will also loves Mrs. Ferentz. So, good night, everyone.